Welcome to the Flyover Ministry Podcast, a practical youth ministry podcast for small church leaders by small church leaders. We are grateful that you have joined us for our journey through ministry-related topics that we hope help equip and encourage you as you serve Jesus wherever you are.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Dan.
And I'm Jordan.
This is Flyover Ministry. Jordan, I have a question for you as we get started.
Yes, sir.
How happy are you that I have left the vague cultural references at the beginning?
I'm so happy. Oh, so happy. I'm feeling snappy. Life is rosy. I'm feeling comfy cozy. Keeps getting better. Good times forever. And life is just so great.
Wow. Just hats off to you, man. Unexpected and delightful. So, as we're working our way through December here.
Did you get the reference? Do you know that reference?
I thought I did, and then it started going into the weeds for me. So I just...
Okay.
Some musical that I'm not familiar with?
No, it's a Hocus Pick. Band from Canada, late 90s, mid 90s. One of their, their
albums. Was that the band that you were talking about a couple months ago where somebody at the Ark knew that song?
Yes, I think that was the very song or something like that. But yep, that was the band. Good times.
Somebody else knows them. Oh my word.
Yeah.
No, I'm not familiar with them.
I think so. I butchered some of the lyrics, but. Yeah, I wasn't prepared, so I didn't have him in front of me. But that's.
I'm guessing no one else knows that reference, so no, I don't think.
I'm sure there's some. Really... Yeah, shout out to Mom. She's probably listening. She would know it, and it would be even better if I sang it. But then we could get in copyright trouble.
Well, I was gonna say I don't think anybody that's really monitoring that copyright thing listens to our podcast. But with AI and digital snippets, I mean. YouTube algorithm's pretty strong to get people demonetized now based on copyright issues. So we will not risk it for a biscuit, but we are going to continue talking about taking a different call, kind of talking a little bit more on the procedures of what this looks like. And Jordan, still want to clarify, I have not received any inquiries since the last time we hit record on this. I know it's been, what, a week? Just under a week, so wanted to clarify that. Not necessarily looking for a different call either. You're touching your nose like nose goes or something.
Oh, no, I just it's chilly, so I'm warming it up. But I, on the other hand, have received an inquiry, but it was more, where's my water bottle, Daddy?
Oh.
Yeah, okay. So I was able to handle that one satisfactorily.
Fulfill your fatherly vocation.
That is correct. Kids.
Excellent. Will not say no to that either.
But as we move on to what we're talking about today, last week we were more introducing the introductory steps of handling the initial contact and stuff. And so today we want to focus more on some of the process of processing. And, you know, we have a biblical principle that we can bring in here, talking about the wisdom that comes from a counsel of others. And we recognize that there is value to getting the perspective of other people who can see maybe some things that you don't see and speak into those situations as you're prayerfully considering. So we're really going to be exploring that a bit today.
Yeah. Jordan, when you don't have people to talk to, maybe you're not in a position to be talking with your wife, or maybe you're just not you're not able to talk to your go-to garden friends or the people that hold you accountable. Do you ever just play out conversations by yourself to like your dashboard or your windshield as you drive around?
No, but I could see the value of having like a chat bot, having a conversation with some AI person.
There's a lot of that. There's also a lot of like, I forget what the resource is. It's like a digital counselor, like an actual person, not AI, but you could text them. You jump on like a chat room or something like that.
Is that free?
It absolutely is not, but
okay.
With the strong push of counseling and receiving counseling and in the recent last few months and years, that's been cropping up, and I've seen ads for it, which mm-hmm. seems intriguing, but it's also, I think it helps me to be able to talk to people face to face, and not so much over or even just a phone call. But I would rather talk to a real person over AI. I think that should go without saying.
Maybe yeah, that's I was just... more being facetious, but
oh, okay,
that's okay.
Is this a serious question or is this?
Yeah, you know, ChatGPT, he's going to tell me my future. That's the updated Uman and Thuman right here.
Oh my, no, oh no, Jordan, no. Snapchat has that AI feature too.
Yeah,
that you could.
Some controversy is that's like top of the contacts, isn't it?
Yeah. You have to get like Snapchat premium or something like that. Everything has a premium, which is
except
the crazy
for
thing.
Faith in Jesus, that is still free. Yeah.
It is still free. I back to what I was asking though. I do have times where like when I'm just sitting alone where I think I just find help just verbalizing the different things that I'm kind of processing through, and even just verbalizing how the conversation would probably go or what's been going on. Like, well, I like this, I like this, I like this. And I think even when I take time to pray, I do verbalize it helps me stay focused, less distracted in that sense. So I find help in that. So I was just curious if you were of the same mindset with me on that, but you're not, and that's fine. But you should definitely still be trying to figure out a way to talk to somebody when you are entertaining or considering and praying about receiving a different call from a church.
Yeah, and I mean, I do process things like mentally. I'm just not having a conversation with myself out loud. But you know, I'm weighing through a lot of those things. Just like, what are some positives that I like here? What are some potential challenges to this? How would this impact family? Is this like something that's going to be good for the place that I'm at now? Like, are they in a healthy place for me to transition or something like that? You know, even as far as like, well, yeah, I'll just leave it there. But yeah, those, I definitely are thinking through those things as a part of the bigger picture there, myself.
Right. So what would you say is the threshold to talking about these sort of things with people? Like, how far into the process do you go before you start talking to your spouse, if you're married? Is there a different threshold for talking about this with your kids?
Sure.
How about the leadership at your church? I mean, you don't want to be deceptive, but you also kind of don't want to be springing this on people if you're at the very end of the process and saying like, hey, by the way, unexpected, but ta-da.
Yeah, so that's a great question. And I think there's layers to this. So in my most recent experience, and that's probably not necessarily typical because of extra circumstances to that. Like, this was a public thing that people were somewhat aware of the possibility of me going towards. But in that, wife, she finds out right away. Like, even if it's someplace that I get an email and it's like, I don't see that happening at all, she's someone that I'll tell that day and just like, hey, just so you know, I got this. And I'll, you know, check her spirit too. Just if her face gives like one of these like wrinkled ooh, then I'll probably be like, okay, yep, that kind of reaffirms what I was thinking or whatever. Or if she's just like, you know, I'm really interested, that might be interesting. So then I might pray about that a little bit differently. But she knows right away. As far as the church goes, that's a little bit different. I think I know there's multiple ways of taking it. The pastor that I serve with, his perspective is that whenever he gets an inquiry, he will let the congregation know and invite the congregation to pray with him through that. And he's really big on transparency in that way. And
how has the church responded to that?
So far, it's just been one. He's been with us for about a year and a, coming up in a year and a half-ish. Not quite there yet. And some of the people were just like, we should really have, as an association, a mandatory off-limits period of time. So, you know, like, we just, we've had so many pastors come through here lately. Let's just give us a break, you know. So there's been that. I think there was a few people who were questioning, like, asking me if I thought that he was going to go anywhere. I was not thinking so. And then just 2 weeks later, he, or a week and a half later, he's like, yeah, I decided the Lord still's having me here. So that's, I think, new to the congregation. I don't think they've ever dealt with somebody who's done that approach before. And that's not necessarily what I do. I would say, for me, I would inform the congregation, the elders specifically, or council, if it was after an interview and if there was a letter of call that was issued and I'm praying through that process. I think that's far enough along that they can know that there's something that's happening there. My previous congregation, I think I told them part of the process, like, yes, there's this thing that I'm weighing through, and there's some circumstances there too. But that was about the stage when I brought people in. The students and the congregation as a whole, that was announced when I had accepted. So there was maybe a little bit of surprise there, but that was something that took a couple months for that transition to take place. So it wasn't like a we're gone next week kind of a thing.
Sure.
With the kids, that would probably come up if we went for an interview in person, because they'd be coming with too. And so we'd be saying, you know, this is, here's where we're at. This is something that we would be potentially thinking about. And maybe, I guess, that could also depend on the situation. So, for example, this last one, there was multiple interviews, and we hadn't told the kids yet. But that was also different because there's, like, multiple candidates being pursued simultaneously. So I think that was a little different than if you're the one that they're pursuing for a different position. So I think that changes things a little bit. My pastor knew right away because he just straight up asked me, like, are you being contacted about this? And so I was like, yeah. And then our secretary at the time, because it came up in a staff meeting when we were meeting together, so she found out about it too. Which was decent, like having them praying with me through that opportunity. But yeah, that's a tough thing. I don't think there's one cut and dried way of how you make that communication happen. But like, you're right, there's a balance of honesty and not surprising them. But I think each context, if you're genuinely trying to serve well, you'll get a vibe kind of when's going to be an appropriate time. Because you also don't, I don't want to just, anytime I get contacted, tell the congregation, hey, people are trying to get me away from you. Just because I don't want to, like, introduce a false sense of insecurity. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I want people to know that I'm committed here for as long as I'm called to be here, kind of a thing. So, right. I don't know.
Well, and that's why I asked about your pastor bringing it up to the church, like, wow, he's being, depending on the season, you know, he could be asked or entertaining calls very frequently. So that could be a an area of concern that I could see happening. But just curious how your church had perceived it.
Yeah. But, no, that's fair. What about you? Do you kind of follow a similar process? When do you invite various other people into the journey?
Yeah, following you, echoing what you said, wife gets to know right away. Tell her in person instead of over text or email or something like that during the day. Usually when the kids are in bed, I'll just say, oh, by the way, I got a letter. I think letters are the ones that come the most often. So when we get the girls get a mail, they'll see letter addressed from so-and-so Free Lutheran Church. You kind of get the sense like, hey, we know what's in here. Mm-hmm. And the girls haven't picked up to that, but Hannah tends to know. So it's not exactly a surprise to say like, this is what they're asking me to do. A lot of calls right now for senior pastor, but I think the last call that I talked with that was far enough along to talk to the senior pastor, he also knew, but also because he was part of the kind of the hiring process as part of the board that was overseeing a position. So he knew that my name was on a list of potential candidates. Okay. Because he was in the higher ups of the approval for hiring.
Gotcha.
Just with how our denomination works. So it wasn't a surprise, but it was also good to be clear and transparent. You know, talked a little bit about like, how serious are you taking this? Like, how seriously are you considering this? If they were to offer you the job, would you go and say yes? And I can say this now because it's passed, but I wound up being passed over for someone else, which we were grateful for the Lord's clarity on that particular instance of potentially a different call in direction for our ministry focus. But there are people that I do talk to when things get far enough along. Usually I bring in other people after an initial interview. You know, that initial inquiry, talk to my wife, pray about it. If I say yes, like, let's talk, let's sit down and have like a Zoom meeting or you know, whatever. At that point, I will reach out to my garden friends and say, hey, just want you to know, pray for me. I'll tell you more later, but this is kind of the gist of it. And if that interview goes well, then I'll give them a call and say, hey, here's how it went. Talk me through this. And I think it's important to do that because when you have that initial interview, interacting with the people on that call committee, you're going to have questions for one another. They want to get to know you. You want to get to know them, but an hour conversation isn't going to reveal everything that you're going to want to know about the church. Yeah. And it's not designed to, right? So don't set yourself up for disappointment when you have that kind of conversation. But I think having friends and or mentors input on this, like bringing it up to them, may help you see a little bit or shed a different light that you might not have anticipated, where they're going to be able to ask some questions that you might have not have thought of, that you're going to be able to come back to the call committee and ask, hey, tell me more about the housing situation. You know, tell me more about the parsonage or whatever the details might be. But yeah, it's this delicate thing. We haven't gotten to a spot where we've had to tell the girls, hey, we're considering moving to this place. Like, we've never had a call progress that far. Like, we took this call here to Dalton right out of seminary, and we've been here for 8.5 years now. So there's a part of this where I'm not as experienced as you are, as one who's taken a different call. But it's also one where, as I sit and I receive different letters of call, it is, I think, definitely worth us still talking about, though. Sure. So I want to clarify my qualifications in discussing this with you, that Jordan is...
You've received more letters, and I've moved on more letters.
Jordan, there you go. That is what I'm trying to clarify. But
yeah. And you know, there's so many different factors that can come into a decision like this too. And I think one of the hardest things is when you're in a place where you're not feeling a direction one way or the other, and it's kind of like you get to decide, like, what one would you want? And in those moments too, like, that's where reaching out to others is such an important thing. Like, if you've got this group of people that know you well, it helps if they're familiar with the context that you're talking about, possibly. But simply just saying, like, this is what the congregation is asking, this is, and they could say, you know what, it looks like they're really hoping for someone to fill this aspect of ministry, and I don't know if that's really your strength. Like, is this going to be a good fit? And because there is the, for those people who are, when you're praying through something, there are elements of, like, you could have, I don't want to say confirmation bias necessarily, but for example, there could be elements that are like, oh, it's something new, so I'm going to be excited about this new thing that, you know, I'm excited about how this church seems to be so involved with their local community. This is going to be great. This is awesome. But then again, that's coming from a place of like maybe idea generation of this is what we hope to do. And you don't necessarily see that lived out in your little visit there. So you can get like the grass is greener thing. On the flip side, you could also have the bias of I'm familiar with this and I'm comfortable. And we sometimes make decisions based on our comfort level and not want to do new things that the Lord might be leading us to, both to stretch us and grow us, but also to do something in a different place. So it's helpful to be aware of those, both of those things. And, you know, those friends who are outside of the situation, they don't necessarily have that skin in the game that's really saying, like, I want to stay here. They might say, you know what, I think this really is a great opportunity for you. And I hope you're not just, like, shutting this off because it's too messy. And moving is messy. So, you know, that's right away, I'm more likely to stay put than to go someplace because of that. Or they could, you know, remind you that what was the things that called you to this place that you were so excited about? Has that changed? And, you know, it's helpful just to get that outsider perspective that's maybe not connected as passionately emotionally as you are.
Sure. Well, and I think there's wisdom in saying that because I think that we need to remind ourselves that every place that we go to serve at, we will find times of exhaustion, times of restlessness, times of frustration as well. And to try and figure out a time like, is the Lord calling me somewhere else during times of frustration? You know, it having somebody else share that with you or to share maybe I am frustrated. Easy to have that mindset. I will edit your little comment here, amend it rather, and say, you know, the carpet is greener in the other sanctuary.
There you go.
But
ours is now blue, but it was green at one point.
Oh man, I think everybody goes through a stage of green carpet.
Our pews are green.
The pews are green, the carpet is blue.
It works.
All right. It works. There is, I think, some ways to get a sense that, you know, maybe this is an opportunity for me to go further or to grow a little more. Right now we've had a healthy season in where I'm serving at, but maybe I'm feeling called that, you know, maybe it's time for me to expand a little more of my responsibilities. Maybe the Lord has opened this opportunity up and want to consider what this is like. And again, want to say what I said in the last week's episode, that if you know yourself well enough, being able to say yes or feel inclined to that potential opportunity is going to be a lot easier for you to say yes or no to initially. Say, this role very much fits who I am, how I feel that God has gifted me, and I want to make the most of this opportunity. But again, as you have that initial interview, I've never had an interview initially that's lasted more than an hour, maybe an hour and a half, just because of the availability of time with the people that I'm talking to. But then there's the open invitation to say, if you have other questions, we'll figure out a different time to call. For further questions that maybe we think of, if you have any questions for us. One piece of advice that I received and I found particularly helpful that I'll pass on to you, during that personal interview, that initial one, it's appropriate, I think, to ask for the last year's annual report in the last 2 years' worth of church newsletters, because that will give you a sense of the direction that the church has headed in the last couple of years. The annual report is going to show you a lot of information as far as what the church prioritizes, different reports from different people, like if there's a Sunday school report, if there's a VBS report, if there's a report from the pastor. You're also going to get a little sneak peek at the church's finances. And the person who had indicated this to me or suggested that said that finances really show where priorities lie. Not that you're trying to dig up dirt on the church or find out, I wonder how much they give to, that's not the point. The point is to be able to say, they have given substantially to the youth ministry or to world missions, or they have been saving up to expand the church, or they've been wanting to try and plant another church somewhere else, but they are just right now kind of in the beginning stages of that. And you're not going to really know that beyond that initial conversation if that happens to get brought up, you know. But I don't know, Jordan, what do you think of that piece of advice?
I think that that's decent. You have to keep that with a grain of salt, though, too. Like, for example, the church that I currently serve at does not do newsletters, so that would be a really quick read. You could get minutes from the last year's annual report, and I think that gives you an overview of some things, even some of the discussions that's going on there. But at the same time, I would say take that with some caution, just because, you know, there's things that happen. Sometimes church culture can change pretty quickly. A lot of times it changes very slowly, but there could be subtext to the things that you're seeing there that you might not. But, and, you know, at the very least, that could be a healthy thing to just generate more questions as the conversation goes further. Yeah, not something that I've ever done, but that doesn't mean that that's not a good thing to do. So as we kind of wrap this up, because we are coming close to the end of our time here today, I think overview, encouragement for you as you're going through a process of call, kind of thinking of some circles of people to reach out to. If you're married, first off, prioritize bringing your spouse into the discussion. They, as we see in scripture, you know, the husband has the authority over the wife's body and the wife has the authority over the husband's body. Like, we become one together. There's not two separate things going on, and your decision makes a huge impact on the whole family. So have that conversation early, invite them into prayer, take their response seriously. And you know what? I also firmly believe that you could have something where if you're really feeling called to a certain place and your spouse is like, no way, Jose, you can say, Lord, I'm leaving this in your hands. If this is genuinely what you want, make this known by changing their heart. And that could
or
be a
change
fleece.
My heart
or my heart too. Yeah. If you want me
right.
not to go,
let's allow the Lord to work on both of us.
Well, I say that saying like, if their heart does not change as much as I would want to do that, I will say, I'm going to let that pass. So in a sense, that's like, and you know, as time goes on, I would hope that I would be up for that and not like be bitter towards my spouse. If that was the case, then yes, definitely. Like, I need some heart work too. And I'm not trying to say that it's all on them, but recognize like those dynamics, right? Then be talking with friends. You don't have to let them know exactly where it is that the conversation's about, but and that points to another reality too. Don't be doing this journey of life alone without people that can understand the uniqueness of ministry. Have people that you can talk to, that you can bring this stuff up with, that know you well enough to be able to point out red flags. And also to be able to encourage you when it's a good opportunity. Be prepared to talk with your church leadership when the time is appropriate. That's going to be unique for everybody. Like, a lot of times I think that happens when you're starting to plan on relocating, to give them time to transition too, and then maybe announce it to the congregation later. I think the last time the council knew for about I don't know if it was quite a month, but they knew for a couple of weeks before the congregation, we announced it to the congregation. And then I, on a Sunday morning, went up and made that announcement. But communicating well is really significant throughout the whole process. And planning to transition well is really important too. But that's if you're going to go or stay. And we haven't really talked about, like, how do you make that decision, which is going to be our next week's episode. So we hope that this gives you something to chew on and something to pray through. And if you do find yourself in that situation, maybe you've not, to think through beforehand so you can kind of have some of those ideas in place too. With that, we pray that you go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks for listening to Flyover Ministry. You can find, follow, and give feedback on our Instagram and Facebook pages at Flyover Ministry. You can also get in contact with us on our Gmail account, flyoverministrypodcast@gmail.com. You can find other episodes that we've recorded on iTunes and Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts, and please feel free to share them with a friend. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.